Are you interested in learning more about body sugaring? Or are you a sugar professional who already knows how to sugar, but you are looking for better ways to kick up your business? Welcome to the Sugar Show Podcast. I'm your host, Shannon the Sugar Mama. And as a fellow Estee who learned to sugar 11 years ago and tripled my solo skincare business, I want to share not only my sugaring wisdom, but introduce you to my network of friends who are masters in their fields and want to help you expand your sugaring business. Let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome back to episode 2 of our business series with the Beauty CPA. Welcome back, Kanisha Coleman.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
We have some things to talk about. So, in the last episode, we talked about being an employee versus an independent contractor or a booth renter. And I want you back on to talk, to really drill down. If you have chosen independent contractor or booth renter, that means you are ready to start your own business. Okay. Even if it's a tiny little table or a little corner of a salon, that is your world. That is your space. That is your business. So Kanisha is here to make sure that you do that right. Because a lot of times you and I both, Kanisha, see estheticians and beauty professionals in general who kind of just stock all the money in their private account. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, they have to try to figure out how to pull it apart and do the taxes. And what do you do and how do you pay? And it just becomes scary. And so some people won't pay their taxes because they don't know how to pull it apart and it becomes this snowball. Mm-hmm. We are going to have a moment of peace and clarity with Kanisha Coleman. And she is going to really help you to understand what an independent contractor or a self-employed beauty professional is and how to manage through that. So take it away, my girl, beauty CPA in the house.
So if you are first of all, let me talk about what each of the workers types are, right? So if you're an independent contractor, you're working for a salon or spa, you and the owner will negotiate how much you will be paid in. That could be a flat rate, it could be commission based, or it can be a combination of both. But again, it's negotiated by you and the salon spa owner. They're not telling you how much you could pay and you have no choice, all right? Because this is not an employer relationship. Remember, as an independent contractor, think of yourself like you are a business owner. Mm-hmm. You're with the services you provide or the product you sell, that is your business. So that rate is negotiated. Okay. So the difference between independent contractor and if you were, say, like a self-employed booth renter, the money that you get will be likely given to you by the salon spa owner if you are an independent contractor.
And that's because they collect the money and give you the percentage. That's the difference.
That is the difference. And then to track that at the end of the year, they will give you a form 1099. On that form, it will report all the money they've given to you throughout the year. Please keep in mind, no taxes are being paid out. No income tax, no payroll tax. That is all on you because you're the business owner and they are not paying like half of, they're not paying half of payroll tax for you either. Everything falls on you. You just need to get that form 1099. What I would highly suggest for you, get you a business bank account because again, you're the business owner. So as you get the money from the salon spa owner, it's being deposited into your business bank account. That is going to make it a lot easier for when you pay yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then let's talk about the booth renter. Now the booth renter, you are not being paid by the salon spa owner, right? You are collecting all of the income that you earn and you're accounting for that income. The only relationship that you and the salon spa owner have is one of tenant landlord. You are paying the salon spa owner for leasing a space in their facility. That is it, and that is all. There is no income you're earning going through their hands. You are responsible for accounting for that. Again, you should be putting that in a business bank account, and you're responsible again for all of the taxes, income tax, payroll tax on the federal and state level. So remember that as well. At the end of the year, you are actually going to give the salon spa owner a Form 1099. And on that 1099 is going to report all the rents that you've paid to them throughout the year. You have to do this if you've paid them at least $600 or more and they are not an incorporated business. So remember that, because there's a penalty for not giving the 1099.
Okay. Did you hear what she said? To have a business account? I am shocked at how many beauty professionals commingle their funds. And if you are going to be your own business, it feels so good to go in there and put your business name. It does mean you have to go through the checklist for your city, county, state for opening your own business, but you have to make sure that you're following the rules and opening your own business account. So, so critical. Again, I'm shocked at how many people don't do it, don't even think about it. So you have heard it here from the two of us. Open your own business account, get the checklist, get your business started. It's exciting stuff.
It is.
Make sure that you're mindful of how you are classified. So this is the best part though, Kenesha, is how do you pay yourself? Because this is not, you get to take in all the money and you get to go on a cruise
right,
and write it off. Right?
Exactly.
This is, you get a certain amount of money, your clients will pay you, you get a certain amount of money. How do we know how much to pay ourselves?
Absolutely. So what I would say, you know what, it's so many answers to that question, but I'm just going to put it in general, right? So I talk a lot about bookkeeping and budgeting. And what I'll say is, I mean, you're a business owner, so you can pay yourself how much and how freaking you want. But obviously, the number that you pay yourself has to fit into your existing budget, right? So you know that you have a business that earns income from the services you provide or the products you sell. You know that you have a certain list of expenses that you have to run your business. After that, you have profit, but got to pay tax on that profit, because remember, you're responsible for all of your taxes. That's federal and state, and you may even have a local tax depending on where you live. So you have to account for taxes on, you know, take that out of your net profit. After that, everything else is fair game. You can take the amount and the frequency that I want. Now, how you do that is dependent on how your business is structured. And I'm going to try my best not to go off on a tangent with business structures, because I talk about that at length as well. But I'm going to give you the basic kind of system for your type of business. So if you are a single member LLC or sole proprietor, or even a general partner or a multi-member LLC, you are going to take what they call an owner's draw. Owner's draw out of your business. And this is why the business bank account is very important, because you're going to go into your business bank account. You're going to take out the predetermined amount you want that you know fits in your budget, right? And let's say that's $1,000. You're going to transfer $1,000 from your business bank account to your personal bank account. Now, if you don't have those capabilities, you want to walk into a bank, fine. But walk into your business bank, withdraw the amount as a lump sum, and then you go deposit it into your personal bank. What we're doing there is we're creating an audit trail. So if anybody asks the question, the IRS or your state taxing authority or anybody else that you're doing business with, they can clearly see the audit trail going from business to personal, therefore not commingling funds, okay? One thing I want to clear a misconception up for the sole proprietors and the other entities I listed before. A misconception is, if I don't take an owner's draw, I'm not taxed on that. That is a wrong misconception that is completely false. IRS and the state, they're going to take their cut whether you take an owner's draw or not. So take whatever you want if it fits within your budget, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to say about that. Now, it's a little different for corporations. Your corporation, you're going to be employed by your business. So you're going to become an employee of your corporation, and you are going to pay yourself a reasonable wage. Okay? And then that goes back to kind of what we talked about before on our prior episode. If you're an employee, you're going to get a W-2 from your company. Your company is going to withhold federal and state payroll and income tax, and then they will pay half of your payroll tax as well. But after that, as long as you have your W-2 and you can file on your tax return, you're fine. You're going to get like a direct deposit every week, every 2 weeks, whatever you determine from your corporation.
Yes. And there are so many great resources out there for doing your own payroll. I mean, they've made it easier than ever. You just put the numbers in and it spits everything out in direct deposits. Oh, absolutely. Thank goodness we're in the days we are in when it comes to business, because you can literally just get a business checking account in the same bank that you have your personal account and just transfer the money right from your phone.
Yes.
You can deposit checks right from your phone into your business account. It's great stuff. But make sure you're doing that paper trail. That's great, great advice. Mm-hmm. So for the next episode, I would really, now that people understand whether they're an employee, independent contractor, or booth renter, why it's so important to understand if you're a sole proprietor or if you need to be a corporation and you need a little help establishing yourself as a corporation. Kenesha can always answer those questions. But the next episode, I really want to talk about starting really to understand your beauty business's numbers. So if you could walk us through that in the next episode, that would be great. And for those of you that are listening, if you have any questions at all, Kenesha's information is all in the show notes, and she can be found on Instagram at the Beauty CPA. And she is in the Love to Sugar community, constantly giving of herself. And we are just truly blessed to have you here to guide us through this journey. Thank you so much for helping us be strong.
Oh, thank you. I am glad to do it. It is like, I am here to serve. So please ask me any questions. Throw me any comments you have.
I like it. All right. We'll see you in episode 3. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. For more information, visit us at www.love2sugar.com or our Facebook page, Love to Sugar, where our community has come together to help you be a better sugaring professional. Cheers to your sweet success.
Hello, beauty professionals and sugar professionals. This is Shannon, your sugar mama. I am really, really proud of this community and how hard everyone works all the time. And I want you to all know that there's so much education out there for all of you. And if you're kind of on the fence, you're not sure if you want a sugar, you want to just kind of see what the sugar thing is all about, we have a free Facebook group. We also, if you're ready to start sugaring, we have our basic certification course. And if you're an advanced sugar pro and you really got it all down, just need help with your business, maybe your technique, maybe some ideas, maybe some encouragement, we have the Sugar Tribe for you as well. So check any of the links in our show notes. They're pretty specific on all of the things that we have to offer as well. You can always go to our website, love2andsugar.com. Everything you need to know is there, from podcast episodes to a directory of sugaring professionals to information, advanced knowledge library. There's so much on there. So I look forward to meeting you at some point in the future. But until then, here are all the things that you can do to get yourself involved with sugar.